I had fun at the early service watching children and youth, their eyes getting bigger as the story unfolded. That's a scary guy out there, living among the tombs. His life so full of troubles. He's naked. He's tormented. He's got prison chains dangling from his wrists and his ankles. Creepy. Scary. Healing and miracle stories, and this is one, often fill our imaginations. I think if the holiday of Halloween had a scripture passage to accompany it, this would be a good one. I'm looking at Act 1 leaders saying, imagine how we could stage this one. When we get to a healing story, one New Testament commentator helpfully said, think of these miracle stories as the gospel in miniature. The good news in particular at a certain time and place and life. In this case, Jesus comes across the Sea of Galilee from Israel to a foreign land and meets a man who's in a heap of evil. By the way, you're worried about the swine. I know that troubles you. In ancient times, it was thought that evil spirits could not live in water, that would destroy them. And so those spirits freed from the man end up dead. And what those swine represent is evidence that there was a healing of the man, just as the blind see and the hungry eat, and those who are lame walk when they're healed. So this is evidence that the healing, the exorcism, has taken place. What Christ does is transform a person with many, many troubles and deep brokenness and isolation to a man who has clothing and his right mind and peace, home and community. So if Jesus, this is the take-home question I think Luke would have us consider, if Jesus has that much power and that much courage to go to that scary man in that faraway place and that much mercy to care and that ability to transform troubles into triumph, if Jesus can do that for that man, what can he do for me today? Because I've got troubles of my own. The problems and the challenges, the fears and the anxieties of our world, both collectively and individually, perhaps a good name for them is indeed legion. They are many. There are so many things, aren't there, to be anxious about, to be concerned about, so many challenges before us. I saw a book once in a friend's home. And you sort of had to know this friend to appreciate it. But this book has a great title. I'll get to the title in a second. But on the cover, there's a cartoon drawing. And it's of a homemaker sitting like this on top of a large box. The title of the book: I'm going to take all of my troubles and put them in a big box and slam the lid shut, lock it, and sit on top. Okay, you haven't read that, apparently. Didn't make the bestseller list, but can you relate? I'll take all those troubles. Maybe you saw 60 Minutes last week like I did. The opening story was about post-traumatic stress syndrome in soldiers. Right now, the PTSD treatments are effective. The common treatments are effective for less than half of our soldiers suffering from those symptoms. Such that, according to our U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, about 20 veterans every day take their own lives by suicide. So this was an episode looking at the post-traumatic stress and the depression and the suicide among soldiers, and wondering why are so many losing health, losing marriage, losing family, losing jobs, and ending in such a bad place. This episode focused on an experimental treatment, and maybe you've heard of it, I had not. It's a shot deep in the base of the neck called stellate ganglion block, SGB. And the Army is seeing the results of some of these treatments, experimental though it is, and the Army is spending now $2 million to find out more about this treatment in the hope that it might be effective for more. Former soldiers who get the SGB block are saying it's immediate and it's significant in its impact. It's a game changer, they say. So a Presbyterian military chaplain says, I know this is a heavy topic, but we need to talk about it. Rather than push the problem away or act like it doesn't exist, the best approach, as Jesus among the tombs, is to take it head on. Everyone in town has put this guy away like he doesn't exist. They've tried to chain him, but he breaks free. He's frightening. They just keep him out there and try to ignore him as if he doesn't exist. But Jesus is like that firefighter who goes right into the blaze. He's like that police officer who, when everyone else is running away from the gunshot, he's going toward it. He goes to this troubled man whose life is out of control, and he frees him. He heals him. He saves him from his many tormented spirits. And we encounter him by the story's end, clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, which is the posture of a student before a teacher. Jesus heals him from his dis-ease. He saves him from his evil spirits. The Greek verb is the same, to heal and to save. Jesus liberates him, frees him from those occupiers which had dominated his life. The man now has peace. The man now has new life. And no surprise, he wants to stay with Jesus. He wants to follow this healer, savior, liberator. But Jesus has better plans. No. You stay here. And you go back to that town where everybody was afraid of you. And you show that you're a changed person. And let them know the great things that God has done in your life. It may be a spooky story, but it's a powerful story. It's a story about boundary breaking and barrier breaking. No one, this story would have us know, this gospel in miniature, no one is beyond the grace and the care and the love and the salvation of Christ. It reaches beyond all of our barriers and fears. There are no outsiders to the good news. Jesus goes outside to take the good news and offer his freedom and his forgiveness and his healing and his salvation and his transformation. It turns out that his power is more powerful than a heap of troubles called legion. Jesus changes victims to victors. And I think that's an important message for us. Strange in many ways as this miracle story is to our modern ears, we can all relate to the obstacles and the challenges and the legion of troubles and fears and anxieties. They may be financial, they may be social, they may be familial, they may be physical or emotional. They may be challenges that you're concerned about for the nation, for the world. The good news in this story, this gospel in miniature, is just as God freed those captives in Egypt long ago, and just as God raised Christ from the dead, so God's new life can come in particular in miniature and transforming ways. Not even a legion of evil can keep the power of Jesus' life-giving and his love away. Notice how the story ends. It doesn't end with a transformed life and the miracle. It ends with the man telling his story to others. The more I thought about this week, the more I thought, you know, I ought to vacate this pulpit and have you stand up here and talk about the changes in your life that you've experienced through the decades, through the days, through the weeks, because of God's life-changing power and love. The soldier's name and the story at 20 minutes told is Sergeant First Class Jonathan Zering. He said, my PTSD, he said, was like a monster that controlled my entire life. He was a Kunar province in Afghanistan, 455 days. It's a land densely forested and with mountains. And those forests and mountains provided cover for the Taliban, who launched daily attacks. So Zering lived for that time ready to be ambushed at any moment. And he said that served him well in Afghanistan, but it didn't serve him well when he came back home. When I came home, he said, I was trying to be a father and a husband, and it was like being a circle in a room of squares. I didn't fit. I wasn't the same person. For 12 years, he suffered from his PTSD. His marriage fell apart. He said at one point, I was like, man, I wish I'd have died in Afghanistan. I'd have died with a happy and loving family. I would have been a hero. But instead, my life collapsed. At first, he said, I didn't believe in PTSD. He said, I lived among other soldiers, and I felt it would be a weakness to say I needed help. But he reached out, and eventually he came to this experimental treatment, SBD. Here's what he said. When I received the treatment, I felt like a brand new man. And when I say a new man, I mean I now had control of my feelings. I feel like I was my old self, my John Zering pre-combat. It didn't eliminate PTSD, but it allowed me to go forward knowing that I wasn't drowning anymore. It gave me a little bit of room to get the counseling and the therapy and the help I needed. It's the story of our faith, isn't it? God with us. God helping us to take on the battles, the demons that we face, and transform those troubles so that we might have victory, so that we might have newness of life or peace. That's the good news of our story. Jesus had healed a man and sent him home. Had Jesus taken the man back with him to Israel, then the Gerasenes would have forgotten the great thing that God had done in their midst. But every time they saw the presence of this man in the area of the Gerasenes, they remembered and they heard his living witness of what God had done for him. And they couldn't deny it. Suffice it to say that when you give to the church, whether now or in the future, and even at your death, your testimony and your witness of the greatness of God and the blessing and new life which God gives touches the ears and the hearts and the lives of others. It's an amazing miracle story. And it gives you and me hope that God can take on legion and win. This man is freed. And he goes back home with a story of salvation to share. I pray that God will do the same through you and through me, because it's a troubled world and it needs good news. And we trust that it's a world that God loves and will in Christ transform. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, amen.